Welcome to the Elevate Media Podcast with your host, Chris Anderson. In this show, Chris and his guests will share their knowledge and experience on how to go from zero to successful entrepreneur. They have built their businesses from scratch and are now ready to give back to those who are just starting. Let's get ready to learn, grow, and elevate our businesses. And now, your host, Chris Anderson.
Welcome back to another recording of the Elevate Media Podcast. I'm Chris Anderson, your host, and super excited that we are now getting into the ability to record in person. So if you're watching this, this is our first in-person recording day. So, and my guest is the kickoff to that. So Jason Hertenstein. I was going to mess it up, but up to Kurt's Barbecue here locally in Indy. Super excited to have you on, Jason.
You appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we can say, dive into your story, who you are, what you do, but Kurt's Barbecue here in Indy. Why barbecue? Why a barbecue through the trailer?
All right. So I'm going to have to go back a little bit.
Yeah.
So cooking has always been in my life since very young age. It's one of the first memories I even have. is helping stat printing memes on the floor to my grandmother. And just over the years it progressed, when my parents got divorced, my mom worked until a certain hour, so I just started cooking dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Jumped forward a little bit more over the years, just continued to cook. In high school, I was going to be either an architect or a chef.
Okay.
And my grades were not good enough to get into architectural school. But a friend of mine said, if you love cooking, don't be a chef because it will take a lot out. He goes, if you really enjoy doing it and for your family and stuff, then stick with that. It's a different ballgame when you go into a profession. So I took his advice, still didn't know what I was going to do, and ended up going to school for graphic design.
Yeah.
And they continued on cooking over the years. My wife and I have five for MGS too. We decided that at some point, I pushed her to go back to school and we talked about what we were going to do when the kids got out of school or in the house or something. And, for quite a few years, I had pushed her to, get her bachelor's and now she's finished her master's and now she's practicing for boards for nurse practitioners. So, a couple years back, she had said, hey, the kids are about to come out of the house. Why don't you go back to culinary school like you always wanted? And I said, all right, sure, why not? And she pushed me a couple times and she said, get on the computer, do it now. And I signed up for the first place that popped up. And while I was going through that, I was like, okay, what am I doing this for? What's the end game? So I started researching, food trucks, food trailers, and what sells and what doesn't sell. And when I started reading about barbecue, I was kind of hooked on it.
Okay.
I love cooking outdoors. I love being outdoors. I love fire, living fire. So I decided that I was going to go around Indianapolis and try different barbecue places.
Okay.
I came upon a place that was very well respected within the barbecue community. It was fairly new. So I went there and it's probably the best brisket I've ever had.
Okay.
So the gentleman had a t-shirt on that said Franklin's, and I said, oh, have you been down to Franklin's? And he said, that's where I used to work. So he worked with Aaron Franklin, not Franklin Barbecue, which is probably one of the best, considered the best barbecue places in the States and Texas. So I said, hey, this is what I've got going on. I've always wanted to do barbecue. And he said, I'll do it part-time, I'll do it for free, and all this other stuff. And he said, once a day, somebody wants to do barbecue. And I said, all right, well, here's the deal. Here's my number. If you change your mind, let me know.
Yeah.
And I came back a couple times during the next few weeks. And he kept up saying, oh, I've submitted your number. I said, I'm coming back with barbecue. You call me, you don't call me. I'm still coming back. It's delicious. And one day, about 6 weeks after I gave him my number, he said, are you still interested? I said, yes, I am. And that's when I started learning on how to manage offset fires and do what that spark kit.
Wow.
So I did that for year and a half. I would go away early in the morning before my full-time job. So I would go in from 4 to 5 and stay until 7:38. And then if I had to, I'd come back in the evening after my full-time job or on the weekends. And that's where I just started learning barbecue, learning about food trailers, and how they run and how they manage and whatnot.
And so when did you take the lead? Like, when did you transition from there to starting your own?
So after we had our falling out, my goal was always to do a food truck.
Yeah.
Our food truck. May of 2022, something prompted me and I said, I'm just doing it.
Yeah.
So I went down and started doing the process of getting my tax ID and giving my bank accounts. Just I'd done so many different business plans over the years of things I thought I wanted to do.
Right.
But I kind of had a format down, so I started filling that out. I get the business plan down and started buying things. Barbecue bus stopper, it took me 5 or 6 months to even get. So it was hand-built down in Texas. I purchased a trailer, I told him what I wanted.
Yeah.
So the trailer just came to me as a shell of nothingness. So I've been doing or been involved in construction since I was 11.
Okay.
Up until us, they had to manage maintenance for a handful of buildings downtown. So I've always been around something like that. So I got the trailer and started building it out. So I got it all built out. And by the following May of this year, around the 21st of May, I already left my job and decided to was going to do it full time.
That's awesome.
It was, it was complete ignorance. I could definitely go back and change a couple things so it made my life a lot easier. But my thinking on it was, if I would do work for somebody for a certain amount of time and take that much time to get to where I needed to start, I said, I'll have to just jump in, I'll have to be forced to swim, and I'll figure it out.
Right.
Again, the ideas that I'd had for it were, I was going to open this trailer, there was going to be a huge line, I was going to be a hiss of success, and everything was going to be roses. And the first service I had, I did it at my wife's hospital, IU Methodist, and she hiked me up and everything, and I did a service, and I had ribs and chicken and brisket and pulled pork and, you know, half a dozen sides and all kinds of stuff, because I knew there was still going to be a lineup. First of all, the generators were propane and gas. I had plenty of propane tanks, and they didn't work. So before service, I'd set it up. I was like, well, what am I going to do? Because power wouldn't work. Every service I have, now I say, okay, what can I do to learn from this?
Yep.
But what can I learn? What can I learn? And I realized, I said, I wanted to jump into it. And here I am. So I would say half my services are just fine, but don't go off with any type of problem. The other half, you learn painfully.
Yeah.
So every time. So yeah, the big thing for me has been my wife's support, my family support.
Yeah.
Friends, I mean, just anybody and everybody I know, even people just want to help you out naturally. I think the idea that somebody sees somebody do something like that and then does it, I think there's so many people out there that have these dreams that fall to the wayside for whatever reason.
Yep.
You know, usually it's stability, things that they feel comfortable with.
Yep.
And starting any business is anything but couple and
easy day there. Yeah. I mean, your story kind of resonates with mine. You know, I quit my job in 2020, you know, right when a pandemic hit. So that was fun. To start this, I had no idea what it was going to be. And so I definitely get that, you know, that puts a whole new fire under it and to figure stuff out. You know, and building a business is not simple, or it's not easy. It can be simple, and a lot of times you overcomplicate it. At least I did. So what were some things that you, like, along your journey, you're like, I made that way too complicated. Was there anything like that?
From the first service, you plan these things out, but from the first service, it took me a couple services to realize that the audience you're going to. It's coming there, giving my food, I gotta go. Whatever that is. But my experience on the food truck was it was stationed at a brewery.
Yeah.
It had a business. They did have food, so they were the food provider.
Yeah.
So I based my stuff off of that. And really, after a few services, I said, okay, I can't serve everybody.
Right.
I've got to go and say, all right, if I have brisket and pork, brisket's going to win. If I have brisket, pork, and ribs, brisket and pork's going to win. If I had, you have so many selections.
Yep.
So that was kind of my first lesson was scale back. What can you do? And I continue to scale back to the point where, you know, I can run a service by myself if I have to.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I have somebody on the trailer, usually my brother-in-law, we can do like rotate, and you can put out more. That doesn't mean there's always a lot of customers, but. So the other thing that I learned was you didn't need every gadget in the world to do it. You go out there and you say, if I buy this, it's going to make it easier. You're going to do this. I'm going to use this all the time. And when money was tight, these things that I thought I needed, up for auction.
Yeah.
And I needed cash.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I had realized was just because you have a barbecue truck or any type of business doesn't mean people automatically like, oh, yeah, come over and order a link, a bunch of money for you. Yeah. So I realized that there's a book I'm reading called For Profit.
Oh,
that's a great book.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that stuck out to me, minus all the business stuff, was the analogy that they have. And the analogy is when you have a full tube of toothpaste, you know, you just,
yeah,
see, you know, you're brushing, be out, oh, I fell in, whatever. But when it gets down to the very end, you're trying to squeeze every drop out.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I had a full tube paste, toothpaste in the bank, and you just go, oh, I can buy this, I can do that, and this will do this, and this, and this will be great. And then when you got like X amount of dollars, you're like, how am I going to buy food for this next service so I can even survive?
Mm-hmm.
So I've had the mentality now where I try to say, I've got X amount in the bank, which this month is the first month where I've actually felt good about going out and buying product.
Yeah.
You put a certain amount back because if you have $1,000, you make that work. If you have $100, you make that work, right? So you've got to put that mindset into play. And the best way for me to do it is put money until I got separate account up and then say, okay, I've got this much to work with.
Yeah.
And then somehow, some money, you know, you say, hey, I can only do 100 plates. I can only do 50 plates. You know, you can't please everybody,
right?
You have, as an owner, you have control over it. You can say, sorry, I'm sold out.
You
know, and as much as you hate not having enough for everybody, you walk into it saying, I can afford this.
Yeah.
And when it's done, it's done.
Well, that sometimes like even helps business with that scarcity. If people like, they'll say, realize like, oh, they're only going to have so many plates. You know, eat place in Texas. My wife's from Texas. Bodacious Barbecue, a chain down there. And they only have so much. And people know, like, they'll do them, but they could run out. And so, like, that, like, people tend to go there quite often. And sometimes we miss out. And you're like, oh, dang. And you have to try to get something else. But that scarcity sometimes can play your favor.
Yeah. And so there's, if nobody's been to Texas,
I've been to Texas.
My brother lives in Dallas, Fort Worth.
The our country.
It is a religion down the shit. I mean, it is legit. Like, people will argue about Lusip has the best.
Yep.
Your methods, everything. It's crazy.
Yep.
If you talk to 100 people, they all have their own anything.
Mm.
So they do what's basically, we open up this time, and then the end thing is always till sold out.
Yep.
So I had this mindset that was on the trailer I worked with that it was going to be that way. Indiana, it's not the religion here.
Right.
Yeah. It's just not. So I realized that if I made X amount, I wasn't always going to sell out. And there's only a couple of times where I've legitimately said, I'm sold out.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time, which was only probably 4 weeks ago. And I walked away from that saying, I actually sold out of everything I had. I put money in the bank.
Yeah.
It was a decent service. And I can remember walking away going, this is good. There it is. This is 10 and that. So Yeah, I don't do the sold out thing. I say, hey, I'm going to be here from this time to this time. And I keep it like when I get a location, it's usually promoted through wherever I'm at.
But
So I've learned to say, hey, I don't have to serve lunch from, 10 until 3.
Yeah.
I can say I'm serving lunch between 11 and 1:30.
Yeah.
And if there's a cell people out there at 1:30, I'll stay open. But the idea is people say, oh, there's only the scarcity is time.
Yep.
So I need to get as many people in a short amount of time so that I can walk away feeling good about the time I spent and I'm not dead for an hour before and 2 hours after. So that's where I found the scarcity is in how long.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's cool that, locations help market some, but how have you gone about creating a marketing plan for your business?
So again, had to display, but this plan during the slow season coming up is going to completely change for the most part. Again, everything in there is just, roses and rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
So how I market is I would go out to different locations thinking that people were just going to come, and that doesn't work. Unless you have a crowd for a specific thing like a sporting event, and you know that there's going to be a scarcity of food or people know something quick because they're going to where they're going and I'm from. That just hasn't worked for me.
Yeah.
So I definitely, because my background has been in facility maintenance, I reached out to the one company I worked for. I worked for 14 years. And the company I just left, I worked for a year and a half, 2 years. But they knew that the manager was a friend of mine for 10 years. So she knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
I was not blindsiding them by any stretch of imagination. They knew honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So I started reaching out to property managers and anybody I knew within the industry. I've been on LinkedIn for quite some time, so I would reach out to the marketing managers at other places. And that's kind of where I've survived.
Mm-hmm.
First event we did, another learning curve, was for a 4th of July event that was actually the following Saturday at a smaller town, a little north. And the lesson I learned on that one was, it's my first like event, it is, they say, all right, we're going to have 10,000 people. And you say, okay, I'm going to be able to generate, say, 10%. I cut it back my 5%. So I say, okay, this is how many servings I'm going to have, and I'll be fine. Well, it's funny is when you do an event, they say, hey, this is kind of where you're going to be or whatever. You're like, okay, it's great. It's going to be 10,000 people and whatever. So we get up in the morning and it's delayed 2 hours because of storms. Storms killing that. So that's one. Which weather is a big thing. You can't get out of the weather. You either have to adapt or reschedule.
Mm-hmm.
You learn very quickly that you do not have to do a service. You have the right as an owner to change certain things.
You know,
and you need to manage those and realize quickly when you need to change. So this event, it was pretty much set up almost like a T. That streak here, a little streak there.
Yeah.
This is where all the food vendors were. We were,
on the air on that level.
At the very end.
Nah.
So it's funny because you think, oh, this is going to be in great location because of the event.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's location, location, location.
Yeah.
So now you say, all right. And I'm going to say, hey, I'm coming to this. Where am I? What's the layout of the structure? Mm-hmm. Am I in with how it's going to be? And so you see, I learned from that. But then the other thing was, is I had an event that was about 2 weekends ago, very large event in Indianapolis.
Okay, huge.
Cool. And you said, okay, they're going to have 30,000 plus people. It's an event that I've been going to since I was a child.
Yeah.
And I've probably been to this event no less than 35 times out of my 40 plus years of living.
Okay.
So I knew how it was laid out. I knew what the flow was and everything. And I said, okay, they said, you're going to be here, 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 here. And you look at the map and stuff and I go, this is be great because this is where the buses get dropped off and this is where they go. So I will be the first thing they see and the last thing they see is they leave and self and go over it out. So they're like, okay, I'm going to do the event. So you, larger events, you have to pay a fee. I was very nice to work with a gentleman who gave me a percent discount because he knew I was new. And, you know, I told my story about how we brought our kids there and I'm there as a kid. So location, location, location. I get there and I realize they're not dropping people off anymore. First year I'd ever done it, where I've been to it.
Wow.
Everybody's super excited. And there's a handful of vendors on the stretch. We all say thinking the same thing. It hits 11.
You know, like, we're dead by.
I don't know how.
You see the crowd up there. Yeah. 11:30. They come to you and say, hey, we're trying to get signs up to direct people over. I'm like, where are all the people at? And something like that. And, oh, we decided because it would drop a couple people off and bust us up. They said, oh, we changed it to over here. So we were all like, so not only are we not getting people in out, and there's absolutely no reason for them to walk over because there's nothing going on here.
Mm-hmm.
We were put in a location that required people to want to come over.
Yeah.
And I was expecting to be able to make enough money to sustain the dead time during
the winter months.
Gotcha. Did not.
Mm.
Did not. I'll be honest, I made $188. Person I paid to help me made $315 or something like that in time and labor and whatever. And I was like, yeah. Then I realized as an owner, while I'm the venue, I have an obligation to venue. It was the first time I realized that the venue has some sort of obligation to me.
And
so I'm a very calm person. And I've taken years of practice to get myself into a place where I felt very zenful. I was not very zenful. And the gentleman who was managing us, he was a third party prick, was a great guy. But I said, look, man, we got it. I want money back.
Yeah.
This is how much I thought I was going to make. I want you guys to at least split halfway. And it was the first time where I had complained to a point where I felt justified into it.
Right.
And so the other thing I learned was I have a right to complain if I'm not getting the service or a promise I was expecting.
Yeah.
So that was a huge learning curve. They did finally give me feedback. Not a lot of money, but enough to say, okay. And they asked me if I would be willing to do it again next year. And I said, absolutely. But I want to be here.
Yes.
And I don't want to pay another fee.
Right.
I did that. Maybe we could talk about me paying that fee, but I said, I need to know up front that I'm going into this, making money.
Yeah.
So that sort of learning curve for me on those sort of things is every time you do an event, you realize that you are now the owner. There's nobody to go to really to complain. You either take the action or no action gets taken.
Right.
So standing up for yourself, being able to walk away from service. If I say I'm going to do it from like in the evening from 5 to 8,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't have a single person in like 30, 45 minutes or whatever it is, I know it's on to me. I have the right to say the service is dead and I'm going to go out.
Yeah.
I want my time if I can't get anything else. So I only look back. So, I mean, every day it's a learning curve. It's a juggle. It's what can you walk away from it? I should be journaling a lot of this stuff, but it's one of those things where it's not such a big organization where I can't remember a lot of this.
Right.
So I keep a mental journal of things. So,
and I think and you're early on still in the area, which is, you know, I've been there. And we're so young and old. And so, you know, there's always things to learn. And I think a big thing, in any business that you probably found so far is really about who you know and who you connect with. And I think that's something we can always do better. And not always not always seeking something from the relationship, but like just connecting with more people, and you never know what that should open up. Have you seen that so far, even early on?
Even early on, first off, you've got to have a consistent and quality product. Mm-hmm. You can't be good one day and then, you know, somebody says, oh, you have to hire Earth's Barbecue because they did great. Mm-hmm. And then change things up to a point where it's unrecognizable and these people go, that was terrible. And then, yeah, you know, the story, there's no connect. But I believe that now, especially if I walk away from a service and I don't feel that it did well, not only do I look at what I need to change, but what can I take away that's a positive?
Right.
So the event that I just talked about where it was like, I made $188. This event had some very notable people at it. They have a pre-party the day before and that evening. So I would expect over, especially next year, mm-hmm. that the connections I made that event and every event prior to that, they'll be seeding it. I've already, for the first time I booked my first event for next year,
awesome.
And then I picked up another one just directly right after it.
Yeah.
So you go, okay. So yeah, definitely the connections, having a quality product, something where people walk away. You want people to, for me, I want people to open the box digitally and go, wow.
Yeah.
You know, my price point's very kind of been as far as like when I started, I was like, oh, I'm going to be able to charge $20.
Right.
Because everybody's going to love it. And you realize that there's that fine line between what people will pay and when they get what they get, their sort of excitement or justification. Okay, I spent not $20, but maybe I charged you $15
now.
And that product's the same as the 21 on a sign, but it becomes more valuable to them. And that value translates into more business later on.
Yeah.
So learning that breaking point of where, you know, you're losing value, the customer's losing value and you're losing money.
Yeah.
Is an up and down battle. And you learn also that certain venues, if I had to go and pay $1,000 to be in the menu, how am I going to get that $1,000 back? So you add on and dial.
Yeah.
But what I will do is let's say I add on $1, but your middle outcome was a water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could buy 40 pack of water for $6.
Right.
And so I'm making money off of that automatically, but they think they're just getting free water, whether or not they're paying for it, but I'm justifying the bump up with something for them.
Yeah.
More about it. And a larger profit margin to pay for whatever that event is.
Yeah.
So you have to not undersell your product if you believe it.
Right.
If you don't believe in it, nobody else is going to believe it out.
Yeah.
So, now, you know, it's strange, I guess. I've had businesses before, but this is definitely the one where I put more energy, effort, and finances into. So this is really, I thought I had businesses before. Now I've got them.
Yeah.
So you realize again that you can change, modify, you can burn the trailer down and walk away if you understood that obligations, but you can do anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have a mindset that you are now the business owner.
Yep.
You have to have plans in place. You have to say, if this doesn't work, how am I going to recover? You have to be adaptable, flexible. You have to be able to say in the middle of a service, this is not working. Take 30 seconds, take a minute and say, how can I fix this? What about this situation do I not like?
Right.
And how do I change that? If you could change it, change it. If you can't, you need to, you know, modify it in a way that makes it less painful. So it's really what I feel this summer has been for me.
Yeah.
It was the condensed version of me jumping in the pool and having to swim as opposed to spreading out the pain or working for somebody for 2 years. I'm learning constantly.
Yeah.
Now we're going to the slow season.
Yeah.
And, so you go, okay, I think slowing up, whatever. And I've always told my kids and employees at the end of the years, I said, if you're wanting to quit or if you're wanting to change careers or if you're wanting to change stuff, whatever that is, the best time to do that is while you've got a job.
Yeah.
Don't quit your job and then decide you're going to do this.
Yeah.
I said it years and years and years. I put my job up and I did exactly what I knew, what I said I was going to do. I told people to do and stuff. And you go, okay, because in your head, you're like, okay, it's just going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you just realize it's not. So I did something recently that, two things actually, that I should have probably done, but I should have done. There's no doubt in that. Because I got a part-time job.
Okay, yeah.
And oddly enough, I started giving plasma.
Okay.
I was like, all right, it's $100 to $65, depending on what type of promotion, twice a week. And you sit down for me, I'm like, God, you know, I did not grow up that way.
Yeah.
I grew up in a very loving and financially secure environment. My parents have always instilled developed finances and savings and all that stuff. I just fell way off to the side. And I just, for whatever reason, as an entrepreneur, I think you're just a different breed. You go,
yeah.
Hey, I'm just going to make this work.
Yeah.
And then my parents were, I'm going to save this job because I have a pension and I'm going to be what I thought the security would have.
Yeah.
So I actually was like, okay, I need to get a part-time job. And the other thing that you realize is when you put things out there, the universe is listening. It may not happen right away, but you'll be surprised how many things you think you need and you like pray for, and something happens some weird way and you get it. I needed a part-time job. The place that I worked at has a separate division that's a third-party managed part of it. I'm friends with all these people. They happen to need a part-time person that does a remedial job, making half of what I usually make. But I'm like, hey, they're willing to work with my time. I say, hey, I may learn 6 until noon. On days that I have service, there'll be some days where I have a service at noon. So I'll split my days. I said, if I keep coming at all, I will make up those hours. And because they know who I am, and we have such a great relationship, they're like, no. All right, Dad, we know that you're work ethic. So whatever you need, as long as I don't have to worry about this part of it, you take care of it. This is the list of things. Take care of it. And we'll agree to be flexible with yourself. So yeah, that was the one thing I ended up praying for. It's like, what can I do? What am I going to do? How am I going to find this part-time job where I go in and I say, hey, these are the weird hours I can work sometimes.
Yeah.
But not always.
Right.
And I'm going to need certain days off, but I can work weird hours to make it up.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to do that. But it just happened to be people I knew and it came all the time. That was one thing that I prayed for quite a bit. The other thing is, and I listen to your podcast and stuff like that. And for whatever reason in my life, I always wanted to admit, but most of the people that I had as potential mentors, I either knew as much about something or I knew more.
Gotcha.
So there were quite a few times where people who were kind of above me or had a mentor, I ended up talking to them and consoling and counseling. It was got weird. So then I just became a collaboration. So I prayed for a mentor or somebody to help me through all this. And somehow, some way, I got hooked up with a great gentleman. His name's Craig at Smoky Blues Barbecue.
Okay.
He has a food trailer. He's 3+ years into it. Oh, and I think I commented on his Instagram on title on his post, and one thing led to another, and we end up chatting back and forth. He was very open about his business and what he was doing, and then we met. And he's been a constant source of, my God, I can't believe that. I'm crying at the end of the bed. You know, I've cried more in the past 3 months than I have in my entire life. And how am I going to do this? And he's like, brother, I've been there. He's just been instantly, I'm a mentor with a good friend.
Yeah.
And today I'm actually going to help him out because he needs help at a service. So I'm going up to Noblesville to help him out.
Yeah.
And while it's me helping him out, it's also an opportunity that I'll be able to look at how his operations are.
Yeah.
I mean, he talks about his finances. He talks about this. He talks about everything. He's been extremely open. So if there is, and he's also said, hey, I've got this event that I can't do. He's giving me stuff.
Yeah.
He's large enough where he can fill us his weeks up and be able to say, I just can't throw in one more thing.
Yeah.
But if you're going to need a barbecue place, I would suggest Perch Barbecue.
Awesome.
So that's been a blessing that I knew that by all since a mentor should be in everybody's life.
Mm-hmm.
I just never really kind of got that. I had a lot of people who supported me, a lot of people who listened to me.
Yeah.
But I never had parents, but I mean, I can't say it too. Hey, mom, dad, tell me about barbecue business and how to run food trailer if you might not be all right. So, yeah, I was very lucky with that. I've already got my schedule set up. And I feel like this month has been the most solid month I've had.
Good.
And I think it has to do with all the anxiety I had leading up to that very large event.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to quit. I was going to do it. I was looking for excuses not to do it. I was scared the hell out of it. I think that's the other thing you learned. It is like for that event, going through it, you go, I can do it.
Yep.
And I went into it. My wife was like, whatever you decide, she goes, I support. But if you do not do this event, you will regret it instantaneously. She's like, you're good. So all of a sudden, it was just weird. Like, it happened on Friday and Saturday. Somewhere around Saturday and Monday, I already had everything in place. I planned it out, everything. And I was like, oh, this is, I was going to do it. And then there was these roadblocks, big ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, somebody's trying to stop me. My wife is like, universe just wants to know. Do you really want it?
Yep.
And there's that point where you say, if I don't do this, you're telling everybody, not just the inviting, your kids, your family, that yes, I'm in for it, except for when it's really difficult. And when it gets difficult, I can just crawl back and say, it didn't work out.
Yep.
I think doing the event minus the financial aspects of it, just being able to say that you were doing it and showing everybody that you can keep a promise to yourself and follow through. And the gentleman who was my contact, somebody that he was very good about not letting me quit.
Yeah.
I understand, but have you done this? That sounds terrible. Have you done this? You know, like he's not going to let me say no more than my wife's not going to let me say it.
Right.
So I finally, you just all of a sudden, I started doing those big obstacles. And at the end of each big obstacle, I was like, okay, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So I think you have to find it within yourself to push through those things that are scary or difficult. And you know, you have to tell yourself, okay, the worst thing that can happen is I don't do the event and I find something else. But what's the best thing that can happen? That's I could do the event and I could make lots of money. Now, I didn't make lots of money, but it was the that obstacle, that big chunk of obstacles that made me realize, you know what? You really can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, not at a time of day, don't watch TV.
No.
Don't get online. Don't do electronics.
No.
Unless it's working towards that something.
Yeah.
Become very aware of how you're spending your time.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea of I don't have time.
Yeah.
It is you do.
Yeah.
I think that's where a lot of people fall short for themselves is they say they don't have the time.
Absolutely.
And as a business owner, you have to really protect that time and know what's stealing that time.
You know,
I feel like this month has kind of brought a lot of what I struggled with into a place where I say, I don't have a stress out. I'm done it now. You know, now I need to do more. I need to see how much did I do? How much did I play? until it finds a breaking point. So this week I have 9 services between Monday and next Saturday. A lot of double up during the day. And I start my part-time job Monday. So I done my part-time job.
Yeah.
And I have double events. I have 9 events. I have all except any boom. I just did that large events. I'm figured out.
Yep.
Worst case scenario is I go there. I can only sell 20 things.
Yep.
So 20 things, get out and go on to the next thing. I know. Do I only have this amount of time? So yeah, this month has been very rewarding because it's sort of like when you watch a movie and you're like, I don't know how this is going to play out.
Yeah.
And then you get to the point where you're like, I see how it's still laid up. I see how it is. So yeah, never give up.
Never.
Yeah. That's the only time you fail.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, when you give up, that's the only time you can really fail. And I think that's a great kind of end cap to this conversation. It's been awesome. I think so many people out there who are starting, who might be at the same level or same kind of place in the race, can take so much from this. Just with your transparency and showing, you know, how you overcome those obstacles and everything, Jason. And this has been really good. I really appreciate you sharing, and I'm excited to see you continue to overcome obstacles that are going to be in your path, because you know, I heard it one time, new levels, new devils. There's always something that you're going to come into contact with or face, no matter where you are in your journey. No matter if you're making millions, trillions, or your first dollar, you're always going to have something. So this has been really a great conversation. And yeah, so much that people can take away and just use as motivation, use to implement into their journey. And so I appreciate you sharing today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. This is one of those things that I would have never even expected to happen, but here I am. It's been a great experience meeting you and being on your program.
For sure. So Perch Barbecue, where can people find you if they're local here in Indy that they get in contact?
Perch Barbecue. That's HERTSBBQ.com. Or they can follow me or hit me up on Instagram or Facebook, which I'm not that afraid about checking for whatever reason
in it.
But yeah, hit me up on my website, hit me up on Instagram. There's an email link there. And yeah, if you've got any events, just hit me up and I'll see what we can do.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for being on today, dude.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.
Yeah. So if you know somebody who's starting their business or just getting into, especially in the food truck industry or anything like that, share this with them. You know, let them know that they're not alone in the obstacles that they're facing and that they can overcome them as well. So together sharing this, we can reach so many more people. But until next time, continue to elevate your lives, elevate your brands, and talk to you again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Elevate Media Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. See you in the next episode.